Our scripture lesson today is from Psalm 19. So before we read this, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this chance to be within your word, the chance to hear what it is that you have for us this day. We pray that it is indeed your word, and the expounding upon the scripture is yours also. Use this at this moment, we pray, for your glory, for that's all that we want, to glorify and to praise you and to draw closer to you, to serve you, to know you. We pray for your mercy that we're able to do that this day and always. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 19, a psalm of David. Hear now God's word. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. And like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them overcome me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We have represented within this congregation a few people who like to go away during the summer to a camp. Sometimes I would love the idea of having a camp. But I love the idea of having a camp. My grandparents had a camp, a trailer in Bedford. Sometimes we'd go up and visit. The best place to have a camp, or the best way to have a camp, I must say, is if someone else owns it and you get to visit. They are a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, but I got to say, it is nice to get away from it all. Jamonville was that place growing up after college that it was nice to get away from it all. I enjoyed that week that I still have that week that I would dean at Jamonville. Up there on the mountain, looking out at the creation that God had made, seeing 56 miles, looking at Pittsburgh in the distance, seeing across three different states, going down into the woods at Green Cathedral, walking the trails, getting away from it all, just feeling creation. Now, some of you may know what I'm talking about. There's this, when you're surrounded by creation, you can almost feel God's presence. You can see God in the rocks and in the trees, in the animals, in the trails. My dad has been a hunter for years and years and years. Now he still hunts on occasion, but He doesn't say, I'm hunting anymore. He says, I'm taking my rifle for a walk. Just a chance to get out and get away from it all. If he gets a deer, great. If not, the joy is still there. The reward is still there. I remember a time, and I've shared this story a couple times before. I was at Jumonville and have it in a particularly low time of my life. And I prayed to God, Lord, please remind me of your presence. Let me know that you're there. A prayer I'm sure we've all prayed at different points of our life. And as I was sitting on top of that hill next to that cross, a hawk flew into my vision and then left. I don't know if God sent that hawk, but I do know that seeing that hawk did remind me that God was with me. Something beautiful about creation. Now, some nature photographers, when they take pictures of nature and a power line is in their way in that photo, do you know what they tend to do with that power line? Photoshop it out. Or try and find an angle that doesn't include a building or a telephone pole or a power line or whatever the case is. They just want to show you nature. There's something beautiful about nature to the point where sometimes when we see something not nature, it's marred. It's messed up or something. But I saw this picture recently, and I tried to download it. I found it on Instagram. And I tried to download it from Instagram so that I can put it in the slideshow. But Instagram has some really stringent and strong copyright protections. It's hard to take pictures off of Instagram. So in short, Instagram wouldn't let me steal their picture. So that's fine. That's good. It was a picture of Pittsburgh and taken from above Observatory Hill. You can see the Star Observatory place. What's that place called? There's a word for it. Ah, don't matter. Anyway, so you can see that. You can see the woods surrounding it. Beautiful fall colors. And Pittsburgh was in the background. And instead of the buildings and the man-made structures diminishing the picture, they enhanced it. Not quite enhanced it so much as they were part of the entire beauty of it all. They reminded me of this, and much like his picture here on the slideshow, where it shows the pictures, it shows the mountains and the houses in it, reminds me that we're part of creation. And God has given us the ability and the strength and the know-how to make the built buildings and everything. That we don't mar creation, but we're part of it. That God loves us too, as much as God, and maybe even more so than the rocks and the trees. That God cares for us in a way that God sent us Jesus, that we might be saved. And that picture of Pittsburgh, and this picture here on the slide, reminds me of the poem that we just read, the psalm that we just read. It's a psalm of David. So here's what I imagine. That one day, David was just so fed up with his day-to-day dealings as king, and he just needed to get away from it all for a second. So he walked out on a hill outside of the city of Jerusalem. And from the top of the hill, he could look into the wilderness. And it was night, dawn was close, but he looked up in the sky and he saw the firmament, the stars, the galaxies. And he saw all those and he rejoiced, because what David saw when he looked at the moon and the stars is he saw God. He saw the beauty of God. He saw the strength of God. He saw how God can take chaos and make order and make it beautiful. And then as David sat out there on the hill, he waited all day, and the sun started to rise, and he saw the sun start in the east, and it went over to the west, and he looked at the path that it took, and it was beautiful. And he took all this nature and all this beauty and he rejoiced at God's power, God's strength, and God's grace and God's love. But David knew that he couldn't stay away from his duties for very long. So he turned around and he saw what was behind him the whole time, which was Jerusalem, the cities and the people. And after seeing the beauty of God within creation, he looked down at the city and he wrestled. You know, when I was early in my ministry, which was about 20 years ago, I had this saying, and it wasn't just my saying. I heard it from other clergy colleagues, a saying that I no longer abide by. I will preface with this. And the saying that me and my colleagues used to say was, ministry is great if it weren't for the people. Now, have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that? Now, don't say you've never said that. I know that you've thought it. Driving would be great if it weren't for the people. Politics would be wonderful if it weren't for the people. Kennywood would be grand if it weren't for the people. Could you imagine going to Kennywood? No lines? Oh, man, that'd be fun. Could you imagine going driving? You have to get into Pittsburgh in a hurry, and that day everyone decided to stay home? Oh, that would be fantastic. I could imagine David as king. Being a king would be great if it weren't for the people. But David spent all night out looking up at the stars, looking at the sky, looking at the sun, praising God for all of this. And he turned around and he looked at the city. And he realized that each person dying there is also part of God's love and a part of God's creation. And that God also gave David and gave us the strength and the know-how for what we need to live together. David said this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." When David looked at the city, He saw how God helps us live together. That all these things, God's laws, God's love, God's decree, God's commandment, are all part of God's grace. And gives us what we need to love one another. I'm at the point where ministry is wonderful because of the people. Because of how God allows us to live and to love together with one another. David is able to look from this grand stretch of all of creation, and when he looked around, his view narrowed to the people, and he was still able to rejoice. As David continues with his psalm, it narrows down further, and he looks at himself. And he says, "Lord, forgive me for my sins that I don't know about. Forgive me, Lord, for the sins that I do know about. Help me to walk blameless when some people come and try to hurt me. Help me to love them." And then it got to its very narrowest, to the very bedrock, to the bottom of that cone. And do you know what David saw? David saw God. David saw that God was the entire cone. In the stretch of all of creation, there was God. And as it narrowed to the people, God was there still. And when it came down to just him, God was even there. David realizes that this inward look at oneself never stays inward. When we see ourselves, then what we see is how do we react to the people and to creation. And David's prayer is very simple and very powerful. When he got to the very bottom where God resides and he noticed that God was in all, he said this, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." After looking at the grandness of creation, after looking at God's love for humanity and our relationships with one another, after looking at his own faults and his need for God, his prayer at the very end, "May the way that I deal and think with those who are around me in creation itself be pleasing to you." I pray that as the church starts looking at this cone of our own existence, creation, community and relationships, ourselves, ourself as an individual, that we see God through it all. And that our prayer and our action is David's very own. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable to you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I leave you with this benediction. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Go in peace, knowing that God goes with you now and forever.